This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now that's a little montage for you, because in today's industry review panel we're joined by three talented tribute band performers. First we've Gavin, who's the lead guitarist and band manager of the successful Smiths tribute band, These Charming Men, which was formed in 1995. Also joining us is James Birmingham from the George Michael Experience, reliving the iconic sound of George Michael. And finally, Graham Carey, that performs with several tribute bands, including Absolute Eagles, Karma Police, and many more. And you heard there the timeless music of the Eagles. Gents, you're all very welcome to the programme.
Great to be here. I have to declare
an interest in this, because I'm one of your customers, one of your business customers. I've been to many tribute acts because I think they're just a great night out. You relive the past, and I just think it's a wonderful thing to pay homage to great music that maybe isn't really available anymore. And as long as it's done well, I think it's just great work that you do. So maybe we might start with you, James. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the George Michael Experience business.
Good afternoon, Bobby. Yes, I've been a lifelong fan of George Michael's ever since I was a teenager back in the 1980s, you know. So I took something from childhood into adulthood and made a profession from it, you know. So, so I think the 2011 was when I got the tribute kind of going after that recession we had back in 2009. And ever since then, so the last 15 years, I suppose, you know what I mean?
Okay.
As a solo tribute artist, and then taking it, to the venues with a band, maybe since 2016. So it's been very, very successful.
Okay. Yes. And so in a way, you know, your career follows the timeline of George Michael, of his sad passing.
And, yes.
How important is it? You know, the music is one piece, and, you know, I suppose the audience are craving for sort of note perfect, they remember. But the look and feel, how much you look like him, you know, how much you behave like him on stage. Yeah. Is that important?
It certainly is. I think you have to appeal to as many senses as possible, Bobby.
Yeah.
So if you have, the vision, the audio, and even the dance moves. And I think if you have two of those three, those three kind of elements, you're in the right spot. But having as close to all, senses is
okay. You know. Stay with us. This is good stuff. Our next guest is Gavin Murphy from These Charming Men.
Hiya, Bobby.
Gavin, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, I take it it's a no-brainer that you have to be a Smiths fan.
Absolutely.
To want to recreate their music, recreate their songs, their gigs. How did you get into the business, and how did you go about perfecting your craft?
Well, I've always been a Smiths fan since 1984. My brother got the Hatful of Hollow album as a Christmas present. And as soon as I played actually the song that you kicked off at, Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now, as soon as I heard that, I was hooked. I just thought it's so unusual, Morrissey's voice. And I loved Johnny Marr's guitar work. So I'm the guitarist and band manager. So I studied Johnny Marr's guitar work, and you know, it was very important for me to have the guitar parts down to pinpoint accuracy, as do the other members of the band. And when the Smiths split up in 1987, as a young fan, I was 13, and I was devastated. So I had it in my mind, when I was good enough, I was going to form a band. Once they were no more, this was to celebrate their music. And we got together in 1995, and we haven't looked back, and it's going from strength to strength. And it's definitely a new generation of Smiths fans. So it's fantastic to see that at the shows.
And many of the people that come to the gigs weren't even around when the Smiths were around.
That's
so you're actually creating, are you not, a new audience for the music.
Absolutely, and we see it when we play, like for the last few years we've been playing Electric Picnic, and you see such a young audience at the festivals. All our shows, like, I mean, when we play Whelan's or the Olympia, you can see young teenagers, and it's great to see. So, yeah, we're flying the flag, we're keeping the music alive.
Graham Carey, thanks for waiting so patiently.
Okay.
Absolute Eagles is only one of your tribute acts.
Right.
You're in four or five of them, and again, tell me, which was the first one that you got involved in?
Oh, goodness. Oh. I've been in quite a few. I suppose one of the first ones is a tribute to David Bowie called Rebel Rebel.
Right.
I don't play with them anymore, but they're still going. They're amazing. But that led on to forming a tribute to Pink Floyd. And we've been doing that over 10 years now. We're called Breathe, the Pink Floyd Experience. And I love doing that.
Yeah.
And from then, because I enjoyed doing that so much, I just thought, well, why don't I form some other ones of bands that I love? Music that I love. So that led on to Karma Police, Radiohead tribute, and then getting involved with Absolute Eagles and McCartney, All the Best, a tribute to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there seems to be a kind of a circuit on this now, because you guys all know each other. You're probably playing the same venues.
That's right.
Maybe your audiences are probably different given the whatever act that you're paying tribute to. But
yeah,
it is interesting that you can... I wouldn't have thought that you could be in four or five tribute bands, but there you go. You learn something new every day.
It's the best way to keep busy, I suppose, you know?
Just a shout out to our audience, our listeners. If you've got any questions on tribute bands, we've got three of them here in studio. They're not quite the real thing, but I'd argue that they're close. It is. Can I ask you then maybe a little bit, Graham, about the business end of things? So if you're playing... someone else's music per se, how did the royalty bit work? Or,
well, every venue you play, a percentage is taken from the gross, which goes to IMRO, which is the Irish Music Rights Organisation, and from there they distribute royalties back to the artists, to the people who write the songs. So that's done, that's done automatically.
And
that's,
there's a formula for that.
Yes,
you don't,
yes,
have to worry about it. It just comes out of the receipts.
Yeah, which is brilliant. So the percentage is taken, it's collected by the venue and sent straight to IMRO.
Okay.
So when you do a gig, they would take a copy of the set list of the songs that you've played. That goes off to IMRO as well, so then they can distribute.
Okay. And then in terms of the marketing, the promotion, the number of gigs that it takes, you know, I presume a lot of people, a lot of the lads and lasses that you play with might have part-time jobs, or is it a full-time gig for everybody?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, for
you it is. I know.
Yeah, for me anyway, because again, that's what makes it full time for me, from playing with a number of bands,
yeah,
but also doing a lot of weddings or corporate events or playing original music as well. So I've been a full time musician for a good number of years, and the lads are the same.
Yeah.
So most of the people that we play with, that we'd have in our bands, would be, but they'd all play with many different things.
Yeah. Back to you, James, in terms of the number of gigs that you would do,
yeah,
in a week, in a month,
yeah,
does it vary a lot?
It does. This is probably the quiet time of the year. People still in hibernation from Christmas, but it definitely picks up around from, say, Valentine's Day for us personally, and right through the year. We'd probably have 2-3 gigs maybe a week. I still do some solo shows, like in bars and lounges, but yeah, so the band is kept very busy as well throughout the year.
And Gavin mentioned it there, things like Electric Picnic, some of the younger festivals, where there are almost these opportunities to, yes, to tap into a bigger audience. Even is that something that you've done as well?
Yes, the festival boom has definitely taken place over the last 3 or 4 years. At the Manor, then we have a tribute festival in Kildare as well, and the big one that happened a few years ago, although it did suffer there, the most recent was the Forever Young Festival, although it's predominantly a real artist
yeah,
sort of set up, but they did have a tribute tent where we could play alongside the real deal. So
yeah,
it was fantastic, and it's been a big, great boom for the festivals.
Yeah. Gavin, you said you're the guitarist, but you're also the manager.
Yes.
What's involved in managing a band?
Really every aspect, from booking the gigs to
Getting paid. Managing,
exactly,
the money.
Yeah. Looking after the social media, answering the emails, organising set lists,
yeah,
and making sure we have the full lineup. So it's all gold. But you know what? It's a joy to do. And we don't overplay. It's that, and it, probably that's why it's lasted so long. It's important for us that we don't overkill.
Yeah, and if, so if, in terms of how regular you we see you, would it be 5 or 6 times a year?
Oh no, more than that. Like, I mean, we generally don't kind of play more than maybe 20 gigs a year. Like, this year is special because it's our 30th anniversary. So we're playing the Olympia on May 23rd, and that's nearly sold out. So it's great. I think if you do overplay, you do, it's not as special.
Yeah.
People feel they can see you anywhere and everywhere.
Hmm. And what's the ideal venue in terms of size, look and feel? Like, and are you, as somebody who's been in this business a long time, are you trying to build audience? In other words, you say is the Olympia like a utopia in terms of...
Pretty much, I'd say so.
If you're selling out the Olympia, it's a good night.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, the last few years, we play, say, 3 Whelan shows a year. They'd always sell out. And we still love to play Whelan's. We'd be playing more shows this year in Whelan's. But because of something special, we know that we'd get the attendance for the Olympia show. Because we played, like as I said, we played the festivals, we played some big venues. Like, I mean, we've played abroad. So we know there's the audience out there. And you know by the attraction that you get on social media as well. So there's a big fan base. There's a big Smiths fan base out there, for sure.
I knew we were going to get lots of texts. Let's hopefully we can deal with some of them. Have any of your guests ever gotten feedback from the actual artists themselves?
Yeah.
Go on, here we go.
Well, I've met Morrissey a couple of times, and I gave him a CD of my own songs, and also These Charming Men, and he wrote to me.
No way.
So it was great. I have a framed letter at home.
Oh, great.
Morrissey. But, you know, I spoke to him on the phone, and I was asking about, did he like the Smiths CD, the These Charming Men CD I gave him, and he said, I'm very flattered. I'm very impressed. And so that was nice. Well, then Andy Rourke was at one of our shows in LA. We played for about 10 years. We played at this annual Smiths and Morrissey convention, full of Latino fans.
Isn't that great?
But Andy Rourke was a guest DJ, and so he was there watching us, and he sent me an email. So yeah, he sent me an email to say it was spooky, spot on. So
Graham,
it was great.
I'm told that I know you as a Pink Floyd fan, that at David Gilmour's, I think it was his 50th birthday, the Australian Pink Floyd actually played.
Yeah, he played the Australian Pink Floyd.
And again, that was a big part of their, and I saw them a few months back, and they're a pretty slick outfit.
Oh yeah, they're huge. Yeah, I think they did 2 nights in the Olympia. When I formed this, it was from seeing the Australian Pink Floyd. Just the same idea from seeing that is why.
Yeah.
I thought, God, we could do a show like that, which is how my R1 came about.
So, and I presume that the bands, even though they may no longer be gigging, and that it's good for them because somebody is continuing to drive their music on.
Yeah, it keeps the music alive. So, and when you're playing songs by Pink Floyd and you see people in the audience who are 18 or 19, it's amazing to see that. Of course, they never would have seen the real thing, and they're not going to again.
Yeah.
But to see that it's continuing. Absolutely. I think that's a big part of it.
Another texter here asks, can Axe ever say that you're not allowed to use our songs? I don't think they can they?
No, because you're only playing the live versions. You're not.
Yeah.
They may not want you using their designs or their logo or media stuff, but no, songs, no, we're fine. You can cover them.
Yeah.
Another texter says that saw These Charming Men in the Spirit Store in Dundalk at Christmas. Absolutely amazing. That was from Anton, so he's one of your fans.
Thank you, Anton.
Either that or he's your brother or whoever.
Definitely not my brother, but thank you, Anton. It's nice to hear.
Yeah. So how has the scene changed over the last 5 or 6 years, or has it?
Some venues have closed, unfortunately. I mean, it's because of, you know, the extra expense and stuff, you know, with the lockdown and stuff like that. So it's been a bit more difficult to try and get, you know, certain venues. So there's a bit of a scramble for certain venues. But as we just spoke with there, the festival boom kind of helped to alleviate that
So
it kind of balanced things out a little bit, you know.
So you had, like, COVID was horrendous for your industry.
Yeah.
Mm. So you had literally 2 years of pretty much nothing.
That's correct.
And then there's been a bounce back, as you say.
Yeah.
With festivals and a real need to get out there and see a gig, go and have a night out.
This is it.
Yeah. Go and enjoy.
You know, and the thing about it is, you know, tributes in general, what it does do, it brings the nostalgia back to people who who would have experienced this for real, say back, in my case, George Mike was 34 years ago. So they can get to experience that nostalgia. And it is great as well, as Gray mentioned there, to see so many young people coming on board, you know. So
yeah,
it's a great outreach there for the tribute scene. And you could say it's an affordable way for people to see their acts, you know, and then they can go and see the real deal as well, you know.
I would also say that I've noticed a big change, I think, in the last 5 years with the tribute industry, is the quality and the level of the bands has shot right up. It's really high.
And that's good for everybody.
Oh, it is good for everybody. Like these two guys, I love These Charming Men and George Michael Experience, and I've seen them both many times, and they're amazing at what they do and really close. And there's a lot of bands who've had to kind of come up to that level, which is a good thing. Harvest, Neil Young guys, they're amazing. I like to think the bands I work with also, but we all drive each other to be better, to be as close to the arena as you can be.
The collective rises all boats.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a big change I've seen.
You say that you do weddings. Like, I'm just trying to imagine a wedding with, say, the Smiths music as the band for the whole night.
Radiohead for a wedding.
Like a forced dance we've been asked to play. I Know It's Over, one of the Smith songs, as a forced dance.
Heaven knows I'm miserable.
There you go.
Yeah, I know, you can think of that. So business is good and the future looks bright. Mm-hmm. You've all got to wear shades, then, yeah?
Hopefully it continues going like the way it is. It's been amazing the last couple of years. It's such a joy, as the guys say, playing these.
So what, in terms of driving on the business, is it just more of the same? Maybe more gigs, bigger venues, keeping the show on the road, making sure everybody turns up?
Absolutely. It'd be nice to do more festivals, especially with three of us maybe on the bill as well, you know. But you know, there is great quality tributes, as Graham was saying, the likes of Harvest, the Neil Young tribute, just some great tributes out there. So we must arrange a festival ourselves.
I think we'll do it ourselves. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go. Well,
the tree was headlining.
You can say that the idea happened here on Down to Business. The new we're going to have a new tribute band festival with all our guests, James Birmingham, Gavin Murphy, and indeed Graham Carey, sorry. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for letting us into your world.
Keep doing what you're doing. I think it's wonderful, the entertainment that you're providing. And as I say, I'll forever be a fan of all the various bands, because I think it's a great way to go out and celebrate a good night out. So keep doing what you're doing and enjoy.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.